I've entitled this evening's message, What's on Your Table? Here's a word that I'm sure most of you have never heard before and may never hear again. N-gastration. Sounds awful, doesn't it? Sounds like some kind of horrible disease, but actually it's something that can be quite good. N-gastration means cooking a recipe in which one animal is placed inside another. One of the most interesting examples of N-gastration recently is something called a turducken. Although on February the 15th on Facebook, I saw another N-gastration that looked, well, a little bit odd. It showed a picture of an alligator wrapped in bacon with a chicken stuffed in its mouth being grilled on a barbecue. Yummy, eh? A turducken is a recipe in which someone takes a deboned chicken, stuffs it into a deboned duck, and then stuffs it into a deboned turkey. I kid you not. It's actually a favorite among a lot of people, and you can buy them at butcher shops, including some here in Norfolk County. Now, there are variations on the theme. Sometimes sausage is added to the turducken, or it is stuffed, of course, with bread, and then sometimes just layers of ham. And then the whole thing is put on the table and sliced. I admit, I'd like to try one someday. But I share this interesting tidbit with you tonight because I've noticed something of late, that there's a lot of weird stuff showing up on Christmas tables. And not always wonderful things showing up either on a dinner table. I've noticed that old family favorites are being pushed aside for items that were unheard of just a few years ago. Some of this has to do, of course, with cultural influences from other parts of the world. Much of it's an attempt to bring some new interest and new traditions into our lives. It's also true that planning the Christmas feast has really become an exercise in frustration for many a host. So many people have specific dietary requirements these days that it's hard to figure out what you can even cook anymore for Christmas dinner. Some people have food allergies, serious ones actually, things like peanuts. Some are vegetarian or vegan. Some are lactose intolerant. To compensate, we now have available to us all kinds of things like tofu turkey, or gluten-free bread and dressing, organic free-range potatoes. Well, I made that one up. Diet sugar-free pies with stevia. And then to top off your feast, you can have decaffeinated coffee with soya milk. I've also noticed that every year the nutrition police pop up in the newspapers and on television to urge us to forego the cookies and instead nibble on carrot sticks. I know they're trying to help us, but frankly, enough is enough. Christmas is, in the church calendar, a feast day. A day that was set aside for some sensible overindulgence to celebrate the coming of Christ Jesus. Historically, especially in the Middle Ages, Christmas was a day in which families set aside their rather bland, ordinary diets and went all out for one day of feasting. Families would set aside their very best preserves, their fattest goose, their dried nuts, and then cooked and prepared to welcome the Christ child. Boxing Day actually came about as a way for the richer folks in society to pass on their leftovers from Christmas to poorer folks the day after the feast. And you have to remember that in those days there was no refrigeration to keep leftovers, so the perishable food had to be used right away. I guess I have to admit that I just love to have those old-fashioned, familiar types of food on my Christmas table. That familiar plate of turkey and mashed potatoes and stuffing, and have it all slathered with gravy. Yummy. Then bring out my shortbread and my Christmas peppermint chocolate crackle ice cream from President's Choice. But please, for goodness sake, hold the fruitcake and the mincemeat pies. That's awful stuff, you know. I might have some veggies if you put some cheese sauce on them. Sure, I might eat a carrot stick on Boxing Day, but then again, maybe I will only eat the carrot stick with some leftovers from the day before. I can always dip the carrot sticks in warmed up gravy to help them go down. Most families, I suspect, carry in their collective memory expectations of what a Christmas feast should look like and also include. I still, with great fondness, have a picture of my oldest cousin, Mark Fryer, eating the huge drumstick off my grandmother's enormous turkey. And I was also amazed that my cousins, the Smiths from Collingwood, like turnips. Nasty stuff. The list may vary from family to family, but the list exists. Grandma's dressing has to be made just a certain way. And only Dad's gingerbread will do. You tamper with any of these beloved items in any way, like previously removing onions from the dressing because a certain uncle of my wife's was supposedly allergic, but he really wasn't. If you remove those things, you do so at your own peril. Now, I might eat the tofu turkey, but I will make my way home after the event saying, "What was that? What were they thinking? It's Christmas, for goodness sakes." Now, if you like these new directions in food, well, good for you. At least you won't have to fight over the drumstick, or the wishbone, excuse me. Maybe I'm just an old fuddy-duddy wanting my Christmas feast to be just so. I guess you could say, Daryl, you've got to learn to adapt. You've got to learn to make the best of it. Who knows, you might even begin to enjoy plum pudding. Not a chance. Not a chance. In spite of my inflexibility, I am well aware that at least one thing will remain the same no matter what's on the table. Among the family and friends and the uncle who won't eat onions is the one we seek to honor. This is Jesus' day. In fact, every day is his day. And he comes as he always does, offering himself to us, offering us his love, his peace, his hope, his joy. Maybe what we need to focus on is overindulging in Jesus, basking in his graciousness and his merciful love. Jesus invites us to the feast of his love, calling us to continually have more with him. Now, I've noticed over the last few years that my appetite's not what it used to be. Oh, I still overindulge occasionally, but not anywhere near like I used to. My eyes are almost always now bigger than my stomach. But I wonder if my appetite for God's love has also diminished over the years. Do I still hunger and thirst for Jesus? Not just at Christmas, but every day. When I read his word, do I salivate to know more, to walk more closely with him? Am I content with the crumbs that fall off God's table, or is my plate and my cup full to overflow? I guess what I'm trying to say is that the bottom line is this. It doesn't matter whether it's turkey or tofu that we will eat tomorrow, or throughout this special season. What ultimately matters is, am I indulging in Jesus? This special day, every day. Because in the end, it is only he who can satisfy.